Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. The title is The Time of Suffering in the Last Days. The Time of Suffering in the Last Days. Okay, I like to read, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for man will be lovers of self, lovers of money, the boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutals, haters of good, and treacherous, reckless, conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. This is the word of God. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul is declared that the time of suffering in the last day is at hand. It is easy for us to think this refers to the sufferings the believers will endure on earth due to the great tribulation until the Lord returns. This is because in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord spoke of signs for the last days, wars breaking out the worldwide, disaster occurring, believers being haters by the world, loneliness increasing and love growing cold. Furthermore, Revelation also prophesies that in the last days, numerous wars and disasters will occur globally. However, the suffering that the Apostle Paul is referring to in today's passage does not come from such tribulation or disasters. Although it is not translated in the Korean Bible, there is a Greek conjunction, God, between the verse and verse 2, which means because or for this reason. That is, the reason for suffering in the last days is because of what is listed from the today's scripture, verse 2 to verse 4. I will read it again from the common translation, the 2 Timothy chapter 3 to 4. People will be selfish, greed for money, boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of the pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let us briefly examine this point. Loving oneself and loving money is precisely the root of all evils. According to the 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, for the love of money is root of all sort of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. In such a time is money become the standard for everything. Those who think they have a little more than others become proud and do not listen to God's voice. They despise God and they also mock and disrespect the authority of their own parents. Above all, they deny that everything they are is by God's grace. Therefore, they become a world that is stingy before God, ungrateful, and self-centered. There is a saying, every man for himself. As long as it's not me, it doesn't matter if those around me are dying or going to ruin. They neither wish to be entangled in others' misfortunes nor fearing such a misfortune might affect their own happiness, treat others coldly. They cite the world, the current state of the church, or their on barely manageable household to block any potential loss or burden to themselves at the source. They tenaciously to seek out anything they can enjoy, yet find ways to evade any responsibility they must bear. In short, it's a cold society. Moreover, if they feel they are suffered even the slightest loss because of someone else, they blame others and refuse to let go of their sense of injustice. They slander and defame those who strive to live rightly according to the word. When this is exposed, they show no shame, but instead shout loudly, digging up the other's person's weakness. Far from devoting themselves to doing good, they dislike doing God's work. For their own gain, they betray others' trust. Though their conscience knows it's wrong, they suppress it and carry through to the end. And in all things, they follow pleasures. They cannot endure even the slightest inconvenience or constraint. A world is coming where the people live lives captivated by the worldly concern rather than seeking God's will. In truth, those who recognize themselves in these descriptions will not suffer in the last days. Because their hearts are in league with the world, they live thinking the world is enjoyable, peaceful, pleasant, and safe, far from sufferings. In fact, these things are not events of some distant futures. Aren't they exactly what we see happening in the news whenever we turn on the TVs? It's no longer but someone else's story. Aren't we ourselves being swept up in these very trends? The Lord speaks of the last days at the time when the Son of Man comes. You can see the Matthew chapter 4, 24, verse 27. He says that the time will be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. What was the state of the world in the Noah's time and the Lot's time? In Noah's times, Noah built the ark while preaching about the impending flood judgment. You can find out at the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Yet, though people heard the warning of judgment, nothing changed. They continued living lives that consumed solely by eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They had no sense of a crisis or concern about the day of judgment. In short, it was an age of spiritual insensitivity. At that time, the way of the world was such that even the so-called sons of God married the daughters of men according to what was pleasing in their own eyes. In short, it was a world that lived not by faith, but by the desire of the flesh. Godliness had joined with the worldliness, and the boundary between the holy and the secular had collapsed. The spiritual syncretisms ultimately led to a life of carnalities. It was true, an age of lawlessness. In the last days, we must not forget that the believers following the world marks the beginning of corruption and create a world of lawlessness. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 11. I like to read. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. In this world, their sin was not regarded as sin, but accepted as normal. Noah and his family were able to overcome the world's weakness by working with God, preserving their faith and belief. They did not flee from the sinful world, but plunged into it, proclaimed righteousness, calling for repentance, and returned to God. You can find that the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I'd like to read. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with the seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. A world filled with corruption and violence is precisely one where the violence, corruption, injustice, and moral decay are all regarded as normal. It is a world where committing sin is unremorseful, where lawlessness is packaged as personal freedom and human right protection, and where corruption is glorified as an extremely attractive act of rebellion against the established order. In short, it is the phenomena displayed by the world without God. Yet no one listened to him. They did not believe him. Through his, he proclaimed that the flood would come in a week. Though he proclaimed that the flood would come in a week, no one came to Noah's to board the ark. In short, it wasn't just the disbelief that they actually mocked and ignored him. Seeing that only the animals came to Noah's with an amen, we can understand that the spiritual state of the people at that time was worse than that of animals at the level of a doomed beast. How do you think Noah and his family must have felt when people refused to listen to the final words of judgment, when they knew as clearly as seeing fire before their eyes that everyone would soon be swept away by the flood? Though the Bible does not describe their emotions in detail, their heart must have been filled with deep anguish. The way to lie was right before everyone's eyes, yet people stubbornly denied it and instead treated Noah and his family as if they were insane. How frustrated and sorrowful their heart must have been. We must try to understand the pain of seeing others heading toward destruction when they could have been saved. They were truly peoples with a heart that mourned. What about lost times? Though about 400 years had passed since Noah's flood, the people of lost time had learned nothing from it. In fact, they become even more weak. It was an era saturated with the idea that the economic prosperity and pride meant they could live well without God. Pleasure riches in peak to sexual corruption deepened, and such a sin was universally accepted. From children to the elderly, they did not recognize it as sin, viewing only the pleasure of the flesh as the highest value. Above all, they treated God's end times gospel as a joke, a laughing stock. They refused to believe in or even listen to the final judgment. You can see that Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, the Lord went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who were to marry him, his daughter, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his son-in-law to be jesting. The Bible warns that such things will also happen in the last days. According to the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, knowing this first of all, that in the last days the mockers will come with their mocking, the following after their own lust, and say, "Well is the promise of his coming, for ever since the fathers were asleep, all continue just as it was from the beginning of creation." The Bible tells us that the Lot, a righteous man, lived in anguish in the simple cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Surely, he should have left that place. He should not have held on with regret. His faith suffered, yet he could not make a deceived choice. It was a faith that believed, yet compromised with the world, a faith that was neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. And such a lukewarm faith, in the end, cannot escape judgment. Jesus say in the scripture is Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, that Jesus says, "So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." The rest days are time when he must depart from sin. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 and 4 to 5. In the scripture said, "As a fallen is Babylon the great, and she was become a dwelling place of demons and the prison of every unclean spirit and the prison of every unclean and hateful birth." Verse 4, "And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered their iniquities." How can we escape this simple world? Where should we go to live, leaving this earth filled with the weakness? Today, the Apostle Paul provides the answers. He explained the fundamental reason behind this problem unfolding. It is precisely having a form of godliness, but they denying its powers. It's verse 5. In short, it is the absence of godliness. He points out that outwardly people may worship, sing him, and serve, but inwardly, a hollow face, a face devoid of the fear of God and obedience, has become rampant. When faith becomes a habit and the godliness of formality, spiritual research inevitably follow. The root cause of all this is the loss of godliness due to shifting focus from God to man. Godliness is not merely external act like attending worship, praying, or giving offering. Godliness is making God alone the God of our lives. It is neither me, nor money, nor children, nor honor, nor power, nor anything else in this world that can become God. It is a whole heart, dedications, reverence, and attitude of obedience toward God. Pity naturally flows from the right relationship between me and God. Pity is the fruit that can be produced by fearing God, the root of faith. If the root is damaged, the tree may appear fine on the outside, but since the inside is completely rotten, it inevitably dies. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The scripture said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Yet the foolish despise God's wisdom and instructions." And the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, scripture said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions." Such foolish people treat God lightly, even if they engage in religious activities. They do not learn and understand the word to live by it. Instead, they base their faith on worldly wisdom and their own standards. They merely engage in a self-centered, the fake faith life where the world and their own lives and are separate. Pity without the fear of God is nothing but powerless for a formalistic religious act. This is precisely what we are repeating, the very thing God warned the Israelites against, the telling them not to offer him empty worships. Jesus also said that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can find that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Godliness without deliverance becomes hypocrisy, and the hypocrisy gives birth to the pretense of faith. True faith is revealed in a life that fears God, turns away from sin, and follows His will. How can we manifest the power of godliness? First, the fear of God must be restored. We must believe that God is alive, that we live every moment conscious of Him, and that we live before the eyes of God. Consider Joseph, the Potiphar's wife, tempted him so strongly. Being human, he could have closed his eyes and yielded to her request, but he resisted that temptation, not by his own willpower, nor out of guilt toward his master, but because he feared sinning before God. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, the final part. "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Amen. Thus Joseph was a man who always stood before God wherever he was. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 16, verse 8. "I have set the Lord continually before me." Amen. Only when we live and move before the eyes of God do we become whole. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. That God came to the Abraham and he talked to him. To him, "I'm God Almighty, work before me and be blameless." Amen. Daniel and his three friends feared God with more than the king's command. Thus, a faith rooted in deliverance overcomes worldly fears and enables us to experience God's power. The power of godliness begins with reverence for God. When we have a heart reverence, our prayers become the powerful, our worship becomes life, and God's word becomes the power for our lives. The Holy Spirit dwells with those who revere God and God's holy power is revealed in their lives. Amen. The Lord declares that the spiritually lifeless church lacking such deliverance and godliness is a dead church. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. It's just I like to read 1 and 2. And to the angel of the church in the Sardis write, He who has the seven spirit of God, the seven stars, and says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deed completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Amen. We must honestly examine our heart to see if the warning to the church in the Sardis describes our spiritual conditions today. Yet the Lord still offers us a chance to repent. Chance to repent. He calls us to rekindle the overflowing joy we felt when we first received His word and grace, still lingering in some corner of our heart, and to God His grace and love. The power of godliness we must achieve is this: living before God's eyes according to His will, fulfilling at His word in our lives, thereby fully accomplishing the salvation He has given us. This alone is the only way to return to the Father's embrace from this simple world and to overcome the world. Do you find life in this world to be comfortable or satisfying? If you do, then our faith is, in God's eyes, not acceptable. Do not miss the final opportunity that God has given you today. Life as a saint living before God's eyes in this world must be painful. Today, the words of the Apostle Paul about the suffering and facing difficult times apply only to those who live according to the word with God as their foremost priority. Let's look at the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Even if you suffer unjustly, if you endure with the awareness that God is with you, He will count you as one who shares in His suffering and will regard your endurance as something beautiful in His sight. I pray that in the end, you and I will become those who fulfill our duty as God the Father's creations. Let's read together and we'll finish. Let's look at the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And let's read the conclusion. When all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandment, because this applies to every person. Amen. The Lord calls such a people, those who are persecuted for righteousness and those who mourn, and to them He promised the blessing of the kingdom of heaven and divine comfort. I pray that all of you who belong to the First Church will receive and fully enjoy this blessing from the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for loving us today and clearly showing us the path to the eternal life. As saints living in the last days, make us like Noah, walking with God and proclaimed your word until the very end, calling people to return to you. Make us sensitive to seeing as Rod was when he saw the unrighteous deed of this world. Grant us the compassion for the souls of those who are around us who treat your word as a joke or an insult, and enable us to pray ceaselessly for their souls. Many may, departing from this simple world, remind me to fear God and to live each day fully aware that my life is before His eyes, so that I may become someone the world cannot overcome and someone who has a triumph over the world. May each of our faith liberating God be proven by living godly lives on this earth. We earnestly praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for all these things. Amen.